Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. Having another walk in the deserted hills today, and this podcast is a continuation from our last one, which was called Managed Opposition. So this is the idea that there's a possibility that, or a good possibility, that a lot of what we see in the media that seems very heartening to us, that perhaps they're finally turning against the government who are causing so much suffering to people, is perhaps not such a good news as we think, because it seems that maybe this is just all part of the ingredients of the social control. So that's what we talked about in the last one. So we're going to continue in talking about the media here. I was wondering if there ever would be a scenario where the mainstream media ever would turn against the government of their country. And this has just become an increasingly interesting question for me, because each day I am seeing our own mainstream media here coming out with things which I very, very surprising, as they do seem to be far more critical of our government than they have before. So I'm wondering, is this still managed opposition? Is there something else going on? But particularly, just talking around the different scenarios where, is it possible that the mainstream media might turn on the government, or would they never do it?
Well, we're actually seeing that they are turning on the Johnson government in the UK and the Trump government in the US in many instances, and particularly over the handling of the COVID-19 pandemic and the economic and social crisis that's triggered off. So your answer is yes, they would turn on the government, but they won't turn on the deep state, if I put it like that. They're not going to turn on the deep status quo. They might try and change the surface status quo. If they think the government isn't managing capitalism in the interests of capital, particularly big capital, they'll do their best to get it removed.
So in that instance, it could be argued that the complete mismanagement of a pandemic, which would economically destroy the country, could be the not managing capitalism very well.
Well, of course, yeah, because I mean the economy's taken the biggest hit in the shortest period of time ever, from what we can see. You know, it outperforms in its disaster quotient the 1929 stock market crash and the global depression that lasted about 4 years before the New Deal type of intervention started to build the economy up again. This is in that order of magnitude. It's that serious, and of course it happened really quickly. So yeah, they're not happy bunnies, our capitalists, at the moment.
No. Unfortunately, our mainstream media is never going to be on our side, the side of the people, really.
No.
They're always going to be on the side of the people who own them, own the media.
Yeah.
I think that in some instances, the super wealthy who do own the media might well take a bit of a hit with this as well. So
yeah,
in their own self-interest, they might find it prudent to try and get rid of the governments who are doing really stupid things.
Yeah. Well, governments get replaced when they don't serve the interests of capital. The case of Chile in 1973 is a good one. It's not the only one. And the people elected a socialist, and the military took him down with the help of the CIA, and the Chicago economists, Milton Friedman, etc., went to Chile to help him out in reorganising the economy, as did Buchanan, James Buchanan of the Virginia School, who, if anything, was even more of a fundamentalist nutcase than Friedman and Hayek. And they all went and they helped the military government to dismantle the trade unions, people's pensions, and to privatise everything. And remember, this was a military government that assassinated opponents, tortured, imprisoned, and assassinated any socialists, trade union leaders, etc. And the whole thing failed. It didn't rescue the economy. In the end, it fell to bits. And the people did have a referendum on the military junta, and General Augusto Pinochet was denied another 10 years in power. Incidentally, this guy eventually, he was charged with crimes against humanity, I think, or something pretty serious. This was during the Thatcher regime, and he fled to Britain, and Mrs. Thatcher tried to shelter him in Britain. By then, he's a very old man suffering from Alzheimer's. But the High Court, I think it was, said that no, he could be extradited back to Chile, and that the government couldn't override the extradition treaty. And one of the people who campaigned for his return and facing trial was Jeremy Corbyn. That regime was monstrous, murderous and monstrous. But they replaced the government because it was a threat to the local capitalism, the big capital. And this is how far they will go. People need to realise, because things have been relatively soft in the UK compared with some of, say, Latin American countries or the Middle East, that somehow there is some sort of humanity lurking beneath the surface of the system, and that, honestly, there isn't. It will resort to murderous, psychopathic behaviour pretty quickly. And, you know, if a government is incompetent, don't matter what its claims are to its capitalist credentials, if it's incompetent, it'll be got rid of, one way or the other. So, yes, they could get rid of him, and they're turning on him. It's funny how that's kind of increased since Labour lurched to the right by electing Keir Starmer as the leader. I mean, we'll see. You know, we'll see how a Starmer Labour Party pans out. But it looks like he's purging Corbynites in the party. Some of his appointments, which he's still doing at the moment, are a bit shit from what I can see. So we'll see.
So who's he put forward for the Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster?
Rachel Reeves.
Yes, is there? What's she like?
She's a fucking... I don't want to swear or risk a defamation suit, but I just don't know what she's doing in the Labour Party. And I tweeted her personally, as not as a DM, but on her kind of Twitter. I tweeted a reply to her joyous announcement of being appointed, saying, "What are you doing in the Labour Party with your espousal of the cruel treatment of benefit claimants?" I mean, she actually said, "You know, we will be harder than the Tories on benefits, on the benefit system." She kind of boasted that if Labour could get in, they'd be more austere than the Tories. She shouldn't be in fucking Labour Party. And she's economically illiterate as well. And he goes and appoints her. I mean, it's a funny post, this Duchy of Lancaster, Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster. The current one is Michael Gove. Obviously, she's been appointed to shadow Gove. And I think what he does is Gove sort of administers or manages the Cabinet Office. I suppose it's a bit of a managerial job. I don't really know. He's fairly senior, though. I mean, Gove's pretty senior in the Tory party, isn't he? Yeah, so I'm not... We'll see. We'll see. But I could see that would embolden the press to have a go at Johnson.
Yeah.
If having a go at Johnson meant that maybe there was a possibility of some kind of flash general election and Corbyn getting in, they wouldn't risk it. They might try and get rid of Johnson and for the Tory party to have another membership election. But looking at the possible candidates, you think, well, what the fuck? Are they going to manage it any better? I mean, my appraisal of them is that they're not a very bright bunch. They're kind of overconfident. They've all got Dunning-Kruger syndrome, which is what the kind of education most of them have had produces. It doesn't produce expertise or scholarship. It produces people with an unstoppable confidence who can turn a sentence but basically understand nothing beyond the superficial. That might be a bit too strong, but maybe that's my fucking Dunning-Kruger, you know. But to me, they seem like a bunch of dimwits who sound convincing, and that's it, superficially convincing. So it's a bit of a pickle, and they've definitely made a pig's ear of the virus stuff. Absolutely, you know, the testing, the kit, not being ready. You know, as I said, the neoliberal ideology is that the government don't do very much. The market has got this magical power to do everything better. But of course, long-term planning for a catastrophe. And the epidemiologists have been warning for decades that we're going to have the big one. You know, 1918-1919 Spanish flu pandemic. Kill 50 million or something? You know, it's only a matter of time, and it would be wise to be prepared, you know, and not to be defunding preparations, including surveilling the world for newly emerging viruses and things of that type. I mean, we know that Trump has rolled back some of those efforts. And I think our government hasn't been that great. You can say they're just woefully unprepared. They don't believe that the government has a role in preparing. They're just locked into this magical thinking that the invisible hand will do it all. And it is magical thinking, that is what it is. So they're culpable on every level. They're culpable because they have propagated and attempted to enact this stupid doctrine of neoliberalism. They're culpable because they wound down the health service and privatised it. And if you remain unconvinced, watch John Pilger's film, documentary about the health service. I don't know where you can get this, but watch it. So yeah, they might well. Murdoch might well send a directive out to his editors. You know, start getting on Johnson's case. You know, start getting on this. Also, I think there's a possibility that they can see that there's a really good chance of some very serious catastrophe. And they don't want to be part of the blame. They don't want to pick up the blame.
Yeah.
I mean, we're saying that, you know, there are journalists going into the mainstream press saying the economy is more important than a few pensioners dying, which apparently... Allegedly, Dominic Cummings said that, even though that's like a report of a report. He's not denying it or affirming it. But,
well, he's not denying it, yeah. That's for sure.
But yeah. The right-wing commentators are coming out of the woodwork and saying that. There was a big long Twitter stream from Toby Young to that effect. Somebody in the Telegraph yesterday, I think, was saying it, you know, well, these people that are drain on the economy... You know, they all, you know, we could, if some of them die, it's going to be very beneficial to the care budget. It's going to lessen the care budget, so we've got more money to spend on weapons and fucking stupid aeroplanes and so forth. So, you know, it's not like they're doing this monolithic, let's fetch Johnson down. They're also doing this... Oh, well, let's get the economy back up and running. A few people will die, but never mind. And since most of them are a drain on resources because we have to kind of pay to keep them alive, that would be a good thing. I mean, this Toby Young, a series of, I don't know, a dozen tweets or whatever, a long series of tweets. It was like doing the sums, you know, and which it costs to keep somebody alive for 2 years, with a chronic, you know, and then he's kind of trying to do the sums. It's like horrible kind of Victorian utilitarianism, like Mr. Gradgrind in Hard Times.
We do know that this whole thing, unfortunately, where they do the press conferences and very, very sincerely talk about protecting the vulnerable and sound so incredibly believable, when actually the opposite is the case.
Yeah.
They're actually just really going to leave the vulnerable to die. We've just having reports out of nursing homes.
Yeah.
Where people are being asked to sign forms basically saying that they agree to just not go to hospital if they get COVID-19 and just die without medical help in the in the care home, which is going to be a horrible way to go, actually. And they're going to be expected to be cared for by the carers who don't have the equipment or the training to deal with any of this.
It's
and
appalling.
Are going from care home to care home, just doing what they can to help these people. And one who was interviewed just described the people she was caring for as just being treated like lambs to the slaughter.
Yeah.
So they're not doing anything to prevent COVID-19 from getting into the care homes. It's being brought in by the carers, but they don't have any choice because they are working between care homes and they're going home to their families at night. Something could have been done. Some organisation could have been put in place to try had to prevent the spread, but there isn't.
Yeah.
So far from trying to protect them and this special cocoon that they keep talking about, that's absolutely not happening, and they are basically just going to let them die.
Yeah, it's appalling, and we would expect the mainstream press to turn on them for this incompetence. And there's no doubt about it. It's sheer incompetence. But it also has this grounding in the unpreparedness, which has a further grounding in the ideology that the market can do everything.
I think it's actually more than just sheer incompetence. I think a lot of this is actually quite deliberate. Like, for instance, if we're really going to go for it here, the lack of testing and the fact that we know that they've had numerous opportunities to buy mass test kits, and they just really drag their feet, they haven't bothered, and they keep saying, oh, we've lost the email or something. Did you really offer us 400,000 tests? We didn't get that phone call after when they're being challenged by the press, and or you know, it's all over the papers that they just ignored these offers. But the thing is, if they start testing people now, what's going to prove is how utterly badly they've managed this, because so many people are going to test positive, and they definitely don't want to test the NHS workers because there's going to be so many of them testing positive.
Yeah.
That if they do go into self-isolation, it will just the NHS will just grind to a halt, and the fact that they've underfunded it for so long is just going to really come to the fore, because why would so many NHS workers test as positive? Because they haven't been given the right protective equipment to keep them safe. And why don't they have the protective equipment? Because the government did not fund that area properly by any means. They had no stores, they had no preparation for anything, and they've been begging. And I know these things are in short supply in the world, but I think this is almost a deliberate act on their part now.
Yeah, I mean, the most cynical reading is that they will put business before lives, and they will do this, you know. There's a good chance that they would do this, but they can't be seen to do that. So there's a real huge tension between the propaganda that they put out and the the actual agenda that they're trying to fulfil, which is, you know, some people will die. Well, okay, but we'll get the economy back. And all that herd immunity stuff, you could see, was a not very well concealed version of that. Obviously, they changed their tune because it's just ideologically not sustainable. It's too much, even perhaps for some of their more staunch supporters. I mean, that is the most cynical reading. I imagine that the real situation is a bit more nuanced than that. And that there are within the government, there are factions and some people who are appalled and some who think they're not being psychopathic enough. I mean, they do fancy themselves, a lot of politicians, as being able to take the tough decisions, and that's why they're there. But it's a kind of a self-image. It's pretty unpleasant. You know, and there's a widespread belief that a leader has to be a psychopath. This is why, because Jeremy Corbyn's like a nice guy, he's unelectable because he's a nice guy. Leader's got to be a psychopath. People actually believe that. That's probably a big part of the problem as well. If there was a piece of ideology I'd want to fucking crush, it'd be that. You know, so. But yeah, the press will have a go, but they won't. The press and the mainstream media are never going to call for revolution. They are a part of the system. You know, they're an integral part of the system, and just the fact of the ownership of our main media is enough to tell you that. And we know empirically that Murdoch does interfere from time to time. But also, they'll let other voices be heard as a means of, you know, like the managed opposition being a means of gaining some kind of credibility. But it's a ploy to gain credibility. That's what it is. And however much they, if they succeed in bringing the Johnson government down, it won't change that fact, I would say. They can turn on the government, but they're not going to turn on the deep state, you might call it, you know. That old anarchist proverb, no matter who you vote for, the government always wins.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I would say they're definitely, our government is definitely incompetent on this matter and possibly mendacious. And it's not impossible that the press might turn on them and might even upend, you know, get rid of them, or, you know, force some kind of loss of confidence in them, such that we either have to have another election or they have to try and find another leader or whatever. That could happen. It could happen. I'm not saying it will happen. It could happen. And none of this changes the essential character of our mainstream media, which is that they are the ideological wing, the propaganda wing of the establishment and the 1%.
This is why supporting alternative media is so important.
It is, yeah. But do your best to kind of appraise what they're putting out as information. I mean, the internet's a wonderful thing, but at the same time, if you don't have any discrimination, you're going to end up believing.
The
earth is flat, and the virus was engineered in a laboratory in Kansas City or so. I don't know. You just believe any kind of shit. There's people putting every kind of shit out there, and a lot of it is deliberate. You know, it's just create a smokescreen. Set some smoke bombs off on the internet, so that the smoke drifts across the good stuff, the bad stuff, the indifferent stuff, and it becomes very difficult for people to discern what's trustworthy, what isn't. And I'll just say, you know, try and learn that discrimination. And a little bit of scepticism helps. And do your own research.
And with that, we've got about 10 sheep looking at us with slight nervousness because they have their lambs with them at the moment. So we're going to wind this one up as we begin our descent down the hill. So I hope you found that interesting, and we'll speak to you soon.
Yeah. Make knowledge great again. wash your hands and
stay safe.
We want you to be okay. Lots of love. Bye.